Well, it's good to be back with Bethel Church again. Brother Mike, I know I probably told you the story, but I met him down in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and he was off on the NIV Bible, and I at the time had one, New Testament, and Brother Mike said that it had the demonic symbol on it. And I turned over to Kathy and I said, well, mine don't. But when I got home, I found out it did have. But I listened to everything that he said, and then when I went home, I dwelt on that, and I found out that Mike was on the right track. And I called him for a meeting, and we just become friends through that. But I'll tell you this about your pastor. I promise you, he's on track. He's on track. Brother Mike, could I testify tonight before I try to preach? Mm-hmm. last time I was here, I was getting ready to have back surgery. I couldn't stand but 4 or 5 minutes, and my legs would go numb. And I don't know who all was here, but I finally had to come down and sit on the altar a lot to try to preach. And I knew I was going to have surgery, so the June before we got insurance and paid on that for 6 or 7 months. And come February the 5th was my surgery. We thought everything was fine, and so I got to had the surgery and everything went good. And 2 months later, I got a $83,000 bill from the hospital and a $5,000 from the doctor. And I found out that the agent that sold us the insurance had put a rider on that everything I was would be covered except my back. And he kind of lied to us. And so anyway, we kind of dealt with that for a while. And for a couple of months, I got these calls, you know, wanting their money. And I told them the story. I don't know if you ever had to tell that story, but this is overwhelming to me. Thought I had insurance, didn't have. Don't know how I'm going to pay it. I'm not prepared. It's overwhelming. Just, you know, the story. And Kathy kept saying, well, John, just trust God. That's a lot easier said than done. You can tell people to trust God. You expect them to. But when it comes to your household, and I really thought I was, and I would say it angrily, I am trusting God. But it really wasn't. So I finally got a hold of this certain guy, and he told me, he said, well, I'm going to give you to the right person. Well, in the meantime, God had gave me a message to trust God. And I thought, well, I'm either going to preach this message and be a hypocrite, or I'm going to trust God. So he showed me over there in Exodus 3 where Moses, when he met God, Moses in the bush, and then God said, Moses, what do you got in your hand? He said, a stick or staff. He said, well, throw it down. He did. He said, now pick it up by its tail. Well, he lost me right there. Yeah. But Moses, the Bible says Moses trusted. I think that's the first time when Moses, he trusted God, and he became a staff again. And then 7 years ago, some of y'all will remember this, but my youngest son had a double lung transplant. And Brother Mike and the church allowed us to set our camper out here and give Jason and Kathy a place to go to church. And I appreciate that very much. I'll never be able to pay you for all that. But during the surgery, before the surgery, about 5 o'clock one morning, we got this call and said, you know, hurry up, St. Louis. So we hurried up and waited hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And nurses and doctors and was coming in. Jason at that time was very scared of needles. And that's all they did is came in, took blood and poked him and prodded him. And doctor after doctor, nurse after nurse, staff after staff, they just, hundreds of them seemed like just coming in. And Jason said, Dad, I don't want to do this. We'd waited 20 years little over to get the transplant. And Kathy said, John, let's pray. And I'm not against prayer, but I think the Scripture says there's a time and a place for everything. And I didn't think that was the time because of the confusion of the doctors and the nurses. And God was reminding me of this. And then all of a sudden, a nurse came in and said, took the curtain and pulled it around, and she said, we'll give you a little bit of time for yourself. And I said, let's pray. I remember the prayer because I said, God, we're going to trust you. Could have been Jason's last day on earth. That could have been it. That's what he was scared of, I'm sure. And I said, God, we've trusted you for 20 years. We've trusted you in the ministry. And now we're going to trust you in this. And God reminded me of that. We got done saying amen. I looked to Jason. Jason said, Dad, I'm ready. So we did the transplant. So God, he showed me. And why I'm telling the story, I guess, is I hope that you'll get this. I don't know if you've ever really trusted God, but you need to. You need to. There'll be a time that'll come in your life that you'll really have to trust God. So I preached the message about a week later, and I meant it sincerely, Brother Mike. About a week later, I got a letter, and it said from Mercy Hospital here in St. Louis, and it said, we have forgiven this debt.
Wow.
And I said, and I'd give all the glory to God. And I turned to God, and I said, God, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. If you got your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Has nothing to do with what I just said. But I just need to get that off of my chest before I tried to preach. Acts chapter 20. I want to start reading verse 7. I know we're probably tired, but if you can, I'd like for you to stand tonight to reverence the reading of the Word of God. Just want to read a few verses, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eucodus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and was not a little comforted. Let's stop right there and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again this evening, God, we thank you for Christ, and we thank you for the Word of God that we have. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to preach this message, God, that you'd just move upon us, you'd send the good preacher, the Holy Spirit, to direct us and guide us and help us to say the right things tonight. God, I pray that for your people tonight, you'd strengthen and help them, God, in these last days. Lord, Father, I believe with all my heart that we're in the last days. And God, I pray tonight you'd help us to see in this message tonight how we need to guard against the things that's coming to us in the last days. Guide us and direct us now in this service. God, have your way in each heart, mine first. And then we'll be careful to praise you. We'll give you thanks and glory for it all. Ask it in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before I try to preach tonight, I want to say it's a dangerous thing to fall asleep in church.
Amen.
Had a deacon one time that fell asleep, and he, a sound system like you had, and he wanted to get back there so bad. And he was all the time bobbling. And finally he got back to the soundboard. And one morning I was preaching and his head hit the wall and bang. And no one was there to wake him. And I just let him sleep through the message. But I'm going to say it's a dangerous thing to fall asleep in church. The Scripture's talking here about, I want to maybe try to set a scene for the picture for the message tonight. The Scripture is teaching here that they was in an upper room, and the Scripture said that there was many lights. So I'm imagining probably that they was candles or maybe some type of a lantern type, but what I'm trying to say is I think there was heat being put off. So they had this window, and the window was like to bring the breeze through because of the heat that was in the room. And Eucodus there was sitting in the window. Now, first of all, I want to say that he wasn't in the church, and he wasn't out of the church. He was sitting in the window. A lot of people like to do that. They're not really in the church, and they're not really out of the church. But I want to encourage you tonight, you need to get in the church.
Amen.
We're in the last day. The best friend that you'll ever have is the church in these last days.
Right.
When Noah and his family got on the ark, they got in the ark, and that was the safety. And I'm telling you, in this day and time, the church is the ark of safety. But Eucodus, now he wasn't in the church, he wasn't out of the church, he was sitting in the window, but what he was really doing was he was blocking the breeze. You see, there needed to be a breeze that would come through for the cooling because of the heat of the candles, but he was sitting in the window blocking the breeze. I know some people that's doing that. You see, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God wants to move. I promise you, He wants to move in these last days. But there's people that's blocking the breeze of the moving of the Spirit of God. And I hope that we can see that and know for sure that we're not maybe blocking a breeze, because you can maybe block a breeze and not be aware of it. And then also, and I want to say this several times because an old preacher told me this a long time ago when I first surrendered to preach. He said, "Brother John, if you want people to understand you or to hear you," he said, "say it 10 times because people are only going to hear 10% of what you say. You're going to say a lot of words, they're only going to catch 10% of what you say." So he said, "if you want them to hear it," he said, "say it at least 10 times. And I never forgot that. I think he was on key. But I want to tell you that Eucodus, he wasn't in the church, and he wasn't out of the church. But he was leaning a certain way. That's my message tonight. Be careful of which way you're leaning. You see, that there's a thing like if you're leaning this way, then you'll fall this way. But if you're leaning this way, you'll fall that way. And Eucodus wasn't really leaning to the inside of the church, because when he fell outside. Let me tell you this. I've never seen people really fall into the church.
Yeah.
They always fall out.
Yeah.
And then let me say this. I've been preaching a while now, and I've learned this in pastoring. When someone leaves the church, they never really want to leave the church alone. They always want to try to take somebody with them. And I figure it's to justify that they was actually right. They take a whole bunch of people, try to take a whole bunch of people with them to justify what they've just done. Now, Eucodus was leaning that way. And that's why when he fell outside the church, because he was leaning that way. Be careful how you lean. Be careful not to fall asleep. Be careful not to block the breeze. And then there's something else.
There's a guy I knew, and I won't name him because we're probably online. But this preacher, well-known preacher, he's preached all over. I mean, he's preached in Missouri and Arkansas and Kansas. He's preached all over. Well-known. If I'd name him, you'd say, yeah, I know him. But here, some time back, he was caught in adultery. And I thought about that for a while. And you know why? Do you know really why that happened? Because that was the way he was leaning.
Amen.
Be careful in your lifestyle this day and time, because Satan. This morning in my message, I preached about the roaring lion, but I wanted to tie that into this message tonight because years ago I made this statement. Matter of fact, I made it recently, and I corrected myself recently, and I said, if you're not careful, I said to myself, and when I was preaching, I said, one day my friend came to me. You know, Satan. And I never thought about that until I went back and studied this. And Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because Satan is he's your adversary. He's not your friend.
Right.
He wasn't my friend. He wasn't my friend when I was lost.
Right.
He's not my friend that I'm saved. He's your adversary. He's the devil. And he's as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he can devour. And if you're not careful, when you start leaning one direction, he'll pick right up on that.
Yeah.
And he'll help you out.
Right.
And you'll not fall into the church, but you'll fall out of the church. Because that's the way you're leaning. I've seen something in this guy, this preacher friend of mine. I seen something in him several years ago at a camp meeting. And I told Kathy something about it, and I thought, you know, we need to pray for that guy, because I seen something there that was, I didn't think, and I'm not a judge by any means, but I thought that wasn't maybe correct. And then when this happened, I thought, you know something, I told a friend of mine, another preacher friend of mine, when we was discussing, I said, you know something? He was leaning. He'd been leaning that way. So I want to say to you tonight, be careful the direction that you're leaning, because when Eucodus, he gets in the window, and first he begins blocking the breeze. He wasn't letting the Spirit of God flow, the breeze that God really wanted to move. He was actually blocking the breeze. And then he starts leaning a direction. And Satan will try, he'll help you out and try his best to get you to lean that way, and you'll never fall into the church. You always fall out. And I think in these last days as we're living, I think the Scripture is very true. He is as a roaring lion. He's trying his best he's just walking about, and if he catches you leaning one direction, he'll help you with all of his might to get you to fall that way.
Amen.
You know, when I first started preaching, I know sin's always been in the world. It started in Genesis, and I know that. But when I first started preaching, I really felt like that you could sin, but you kind of had to work at it just a little bit. But in these last days, the last few years of my ministry, I can tell you for sure, you don't have to do anything. Sin is everywhere, and it's so present, and it's almost like it's right, but it's not right.
Listen to it.
And the Bible says in the last days they'll say what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. And I heard that on national TV the other day, and I said, wow, they're quoting Scripture and don't even know.
Yeah.
I know that we're in the last days, but friend, you need to guard your house.
Yeah.
And you need to guard, and I heard a preacher. Matter of fact, it's this same preacher that I'm talking to you about. I heard him say many times, one time in a revival, he was preaching revivals front to back, Monday through Sunday, and then start another one Monday night through Sunday. Start another one Monday night through Sunday. Brother Mike, you know what that's like. That is wearsome.
Yeah, it is.
And I heard him in a revival say to his dad before he preached this one, he said, "Dad, help me guard my house." And I think he was on the right track at that point, because Satan's he'll catch you when you're weary, but he'll also catch you when you're not weary. He's just out to catch you.
Amen.
And you start leaning a certain way, and you start looking that way, you start leaning that way, and he'll help you. And the next thing you know, you'll fall, and it's never inside the church. It's always out of the church. Because that's the way you're leaning. You know, I thought of the lion when he roars. I wondered why that was. And I think partly what it was, it's to have a fear. He has such a loud voice, and it's to scare you. You'll make mistakes when you have fear. You know what I've learned in when I've lost my fear, or when fear has came, you know what I've lost? You know what the first thing I lose? When I lose faith, the first thing comes is fear. You know where faith comes from? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when we get away from that, when we get away from reading the Word of God or hearing it preached, we get away from trying to understand the Word of God, then the roaring lion, when he roars and the loudness of it, you'll make mistakes in your life. And then you'll start leaning a direction. This is probably not real, but I heard of two cowboys one time that were walking in the paths of Africa, or in the jungle. They was walking down the path and had their cowboy boots on. All of a sudden, a lion just jumps out in the path. And one of the little boys sits down and starts putting tennis shoes on. And the other one said, "You can't outrun him." He said, "No, but I can outrun you." I'm not sure that's friendship. And I'm not sure that's what we're supposed to be doing in the last days. You see, we're in a battle. If you'll help protect me, I can help protect you. But when we start against each other, see, Satan's trying to, it's a division thing. And when Satan tries to come in and to divide that, you'll start leaning a direction. And then you'll start making excuses. "Well, the preacher didn't preach a good message today." So what? I've heard a lot of them. So what? I've preached a lot of them.
Yeah. Amen.
And we'll start judging and being judgmental about this and that. Next thing you know, we're leaning a direction. And then Satan will come in and he'll use that. And if you're not careful, he'll get somebody to agree with you. "Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that either." I preached a message here a few months ago. Matter of fact, we moved, Brother Mike, but back a few months ago when we was in the shopping center, I preached a message that morning because I seen something that was in the church about wolves, and I fought them for two churches. I fought them two different times. It's exactly as I can pick them out. I can show you their actions, their direction, what they're going to do next. And I seen something in that matter of fact, it was a family, and I brought a message about wolves that morning. And the visitors always come.
Yeah.
And there were some visitors there, and I heard them when they went out the door. One said, "Well, I didn't really like that message." And the other one said, "Yeah, I've heard him preach a better message than that before." But you know what? It protected the flock. I'm not after the terrific, the fine messages. Hey, Brother Mike, here's what I'm after in the last days, is to protect the flock of God.
Amen, preacher. You're right.
To protect the flock of God. I mean, Jesus Christ came and bled and suffered and gave His life for the church. And we ought to be trying to maintain it and help them to find Christ. So it doesn't really matter the message, but messages like this need to be preached once in a while, because if you're not careful in your life, you start leaning one direction. You might even say some things against the pastor. I've preached this type of a message before. And I've said, you know something? They had the preacher for lunch. He wasn't even there. You'll get that later. It's on tape, I think. And then a little boy came up and gave the preacher his money, his allowance, his 50 cents. And the preacher said, "What's that for?" And he said, "Well, my dad said you was the poorest preacher he ever heard in his life." You see, I've preached messages like that before. But I think in the last days we need to be protecting the church. Watch what way you're leaning. Because if you're not careful, first of all, you'll start blocking the breeze. You'll get in the way. And then after you start blocking the breeze, you'll start leaning a direction. And the next thing, you'll fall out of the church. I've been preaching since they licensed me in 90, ordained me in 91. I preached a year or two before that. And I can tell you, I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've never seen anybody fall in the church. They always start leaning a direction. And first of all, they'll cause a problem. They'll block the breeze and they'll cause a problem. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, when they block the breeze, when God's wanting, in the last days, God is wanting to move in your life, in your family. Amen. I promise you that. And someone always gets in the way of that. They'll block the breeze. And then they'll start leaning a direction. And when they fall out, here's what I found in the last few years of my ministry. They never, ever fall out alone. They always try to take someone with them. I'd be careful, because I know you can't touch the man of God. I know that. My brother one time was going to do that to a preacher, and I said, "You better not." He said, "Why?" And I said, "The Bible says, touch not God's anointed." He said, "The Bible really say that?" And I said, "It sure does." And he let it go. But I want to take one step further about the flock of God. You'll probably never know until you get there how important you are as a flock of God. If I was going to mess with anyone, it wouldn't be the flock of God. I may fight my brothers. Not going to. But I may fight with them. But I'd be real careful messing with the flock of God. They're His. They're His. Matter of fact, God has just put Brother Mike a shepherd over His flock. When I was a young preacher, Brother Mike, I was preaching that message to a bunch of old preachers. They had the Amen Corner, and they had the whole front pews filled. The old preachers, not just a young preacher, hadn't ever pastored the church. But I've been studying and reading, and I found out that how important the flock of God was. And I kept saying, "They're not your sheep." And I heard one say, "Yes, they are." And I kept saying, "They're not your sheep." And I heard them say, "Oh, yes, they are. I've suffered. I did this, and I've worked, and I've..." When I got all done preaching, I looked to them and I said, "They're the Lord Jesus Christ's sheep." And they all humbled themselves down. And I said, "They're the Lord's sheep. He's just placed you there to shepherd them, feed them." It's a dangerous thing to mess with the flock of God. It's a dangerous thing to fall asleep in church. Be careful you're not blocking the breeze. Be careful what way you're leaning. Because if you're not careful, Satan will help you fall asleep. He'll help you not hear the word. I know Paul preached for till midnight. You wouldn't like me if I didn't. I'm not going to. But you wouldn't like me if I preached till midnight. But Paul preached till midnight. I know that was long. And And Satan helped him fall asleep, helped him quit listening to what I'm trying to say is, Satan helped him to quit listening to the Word of God. He's blocking the breeze. Satan helped him to quit listening to the Word of God. He started leaning in a direction. Next thing you know, he fell right out of the church. Be careful in the last days. If you're not praying for your pastor, you need to. If you're not praying for your husband or wife, you need to. If you're not praying for the one sitting next to you, you need to. When Noah was building the ark, I don't think he let Shem, Ham, and Japheth just go do whatever they might have wanted to do. He said, boys, we've got a job to do. This is what God said. And I believe they began to help Noah. The Bible says they built the ark the way God had commanded them to build. When they got done, God said, yet in 7 days. And when they gathered everything in, all the animals, all the food, everything in, the Bible says that God shut the door. Let me add this before I'm done. The Scripture doesn't really say this. I'm going to. I believe when the rains came. Now, they wasn't listening to Noah for 120 years. They did not, absolutely, I don't think, listen to him. But I think when God shut the door and the rains begin to come and the ark begins to float because of the highness of the waters, I just believe in my simple human mind, it's because of what I do, I think they ran to the ark and said, let us in. We believe now. But you see, the Bible said God shut the door. Be careful in these last days how you're leaning. Because I think there will be a time come when God will say, matter of fact, there used to be an old song we used to sing, son, go bring my children home. And I think, as 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them that have died. We shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we forever be the Lord.
Amen.
Now let me quote the last verse. I'll try to be done. It's never really quoted when you quote that. But it says, wherefore? And I looked that word up one time just to find out, why did they keep saying in these passages, wherefore? And here's what it means. It means just what you just got through reading. So just what I just got through quoting, it says, wherefore, by that statement, comfort one another. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's coming.
Amen, preacher.
I've heard all my life. But I want to tell you for a fact. It'll be some morning. It'll be sometime at noon. It'll be midnight somewhere. And the Bible says, the Lord will come. I believe that with all my heart. He's coming. Be careful how you're leaning. Be careful you're not blocking the breeze of God. Be careful you're not leaning the way Satan would have you to lean. Because he didn't fall inside the church, he fell outside. And he died. Of course, the Apostle Paul, I think, brought him back to life. It's what the Scripture is teaching. So be careful in these last days which way you're leaning. Because Satan is trying his very best to get you to fall out of the church. Let me say this one last thing, and I'll promise you I'll be there. You guys want to come prepare a song, maybe? When a wolf, I've had some experiences with them, when a wolf comes to attack, he'll run into the flock to scatter the flock. You know why? He won't really come in and attack the flock. But he'll run through them and scatter them. And then he'll catch the one that's off out there. That's the one he's going to kill. is the one that's out there. You know why? Because they're kind of leaning that way. If he can catch you off guard and out there, he'll destroy you. Because the Scripture says that's what he's after, is to rob, to kill, and to destroy you. He's your adversary.
Yeah.
I'm not your enemy. Brother Mike's not your enemy. Your wife's not. Your husband's not. Your next door neighbor, your mother-in-law is not. It's the adversary. He's your enemy. We need to bind together in these last days for each other. Did you know the world was populated in the days of Noah? Study it out. I think Brother Mike told us one time the generations, which proved that the world was populated and only 8 people were saved.
Yeah.
Be careful in these last days which way you're leaning. Lean toward the things of God. Lean toward the Word of God. If you lean that way, I promise you, He's not only our provider, He's also our protector. You know what I've learned? I've learned to trust Him. I've learned to trust Him. With everything I've got, not because He allowed an $83,000 or $4,000 bill to go away. It's not that. Because to me, that was a miracle when He just took that away. But I've learned to trust Him. Trust God. Pray for your next door neighbor. Pray for your friend. Pray for your family. Let me say this and I'm done. You got people in your family that's not saved? You need to be praying for them. Not just on Sunday. You need to be praying for them. A preacher one time told me, he said, Brother John, after I'd surrendered to preach, as a matter of fact, it was my brother-in-law, we was sitting out on a log some one warm Thanksgiving afternoon, sitting out on a log visiting. He said, Brother John, we used to pray for you. I said, well, thank you, brother. He said, no, he said, I used to stand up in the middle of the church, in the middle of the service, and say, John Uter, he's lost. I'll pray for him. And I still got a short fuse. And I said, what? He said, every Sunday I'd stand publicly and call your name. And the second I got mad, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, if not him, who? You see, if he wasn't praying, and I began to weep, and I said, brother, thank you. He said, we never knew you'd preach. We just wanted to see you saved. If you got people in your family that's not saved, you need to continually pray. And if you can, you need to fast. I found that to be most powerful in a Christian's life. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't say if you fast or if you pray. He said when you fast and when you pray. Let's stand tonight.